Good evening, everyone. Good to be here. I guess we could say persistence paid off for Brother Mark back here to get me to come. He was after me back in the fall and told him a few times that it didn't suit because it really didn't, and he kept calling. And I have a lesson to me, you know, don't give up when it doesn't work out, or maybe when our prayers aren't answered. We should be persistent, and God in His faithfulness will answer. Glad to see a few familiar faces out here. Brother Don, see you occasionally here and there, and Brother William, met you up at Penn State not that long ago with the outreach there. We have a sister from our congregation, Tara Foster, that goes to Penn State there with the with Ernest Eby's group there and reaches out to the students with Bible studies and so on, and finds that to be a blessing. So, a little bit about myself. My wife and I are here with our two youngest children. We have six more children at home. Our oldest daughter, Susanna, married Grant Bennett this spring, who's a brother to Mary Heather here, whom you all know well by now. And we have a dairy farm. Just recently, Franklin Builders finished, it's not quite finished yet, a 200-foot freestall barn, which is very exciting for us. We've been putting up with a small facility there, only about 82 freestalls for about twice that many cows. And so we've tried to teach them to share, but they seem to suffer from overcrowding, as is pretty much expected when you have so many cows and not enough place for them. So Franklin Builders is a local builder there. I think maybe a bit in competition with Fisher Brothers up here. Leroy, is that right? Anyway, I thought I would refer to Franklin Builders just a bit here in my talk tonight. So you can turn for a scripture to 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to talk about the body. And I really appreciated the children's lesson up here, talking about how we're all valuable, even if we're crumbled up and a bit torn up. We're still valuable and special in God's sight. And that's kind of my thought tonight from 1 Corinthians 12, how that there's one body, but many members. And, you know, we all, we're kind of like a team, I guess, in the church. I'm going to address you all like I would talk to our home congregation. I assume that the dynamics of church life are pretty similar wherever we go. There's those with strengths and those that seem to have strengths in certain ways that are maybe used in the church in a more visible way. And then there's those that maybe play a lesser role, we could say, but are still equally valuable. And so we just want to look at the value that God places on us within the church, and whether we find ourselves, like it says here, an eye or an ear or a foot, we're equally valuable. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12 through verse 27. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, I think it's interesting here. He actually has speaking assigned to a member of the body. Now, how many of you have ever heard your foot talk? So it's kind of a little humorous when you think of it that way. So, okay, if our foot would actually say this, we're just thinking of it kind of allegorically, I guess. In verse 16, if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So that's where we'll stop. It's kind of taking a center section out of a scripture here dealing with spiritual gifts. And I just marvel at the truth that's shared here with the comparing the church to our bodies. And I'd like to compare tonight to what we saw there at our farm with Franklin Builders coming in and building a barn in about 6 weeks' time. They went from a flat grade, flat dirt lot, we could say. It was graded, about 2.5% slope on it. And they built a freestall barn with about 140 stalls, about 63 by 200 long. And it's just amazing to see that barn grow. And what it took was the cooperation of about five or six men, and on trust setting day and a few other days they had some more workers came together. But they worked together in harmony. I guess what stood out to me was how they didn't spend a lot of time talking with each other. Okay, now, you know, I want you to do this, and you know, you do that, and this is how you do it. It was obvious they had done these things before. They knew how to set trusses. They knew how to put the roof on in a very efficient way. They put bubble wrap on up there above the on the 2x4s, the purlins. And then they put the roofing metal on, and with one young Mennonite fellow up there that was running on the bubble wrap. You know, you can't see really where the 2x4, at least I could hardly tell where they were, but apparently he was quite confident. He would grab that sheet of metal and run up the roof. It was two sheets long, so he would come down to the man lift and grab the sheet of metal and drag it up across the roof, running. Didn't fall through that I know of. Very skilled in what they did. And we were just blessed to see that. And I was thinking about the body, you know, how that in the church, when we're content in the place that God has called us, how smooth that is. When we know our place, when we do our part, it just goes so smoothly. And God is pleased. There in verse 18, it says that God hath set the members, every one in the body, as it hath pleased him. And so when we think of our physical bodies, I'm going to switch back and forth and try to weave this together. So our physical bodies, God decided which of our members would serve down at ground level. So we all have feet. We all have toes. We all have ears and eyes, and maybe a nose. And, you know, God decided where our body, how our body would function and how it would serve us. So for our feet example, for example, our feet are kind of have a lowly position. You know, we cover them up. We put socks and shoes on. They're kind of hidden down there. But yet if we didn't have them, we couldn't balance. We couldn't stand, couldn't run. Really, it would be pretty handicapped. And so it is in the church. when there's not the foundation in the church. And I'm going to say the foundation for the church is really prayer and faith. Are we, you know, what is our foundation as the body of Christ? There's many things we could name. So it takes prayer warriors to keep a church going. People who are strong in faith, strong in prayer, and are lifting the other members of the body up, such as those that maybe are serving in more prominent positions of the eyes and ears. We could say maybe those that have, if the foot could look up at the head and say, oh, if only I could see like that brother, if only I was as observant as him, or as perceptive, like hearing truth or identifying falsehood, if only I could do that. But no, God has called us to be content where we're at. So another thing I noticed about the building crew there was that they often paired up people, like the more experienced people, with those that were less experienced, which makes sense. But those that could do more difficult things, like on the man lift, for example, you would have a skilled laborer with a newer guy, and they would work together on a project, whether it was, you know, putting the face board on around the building or working on the curtain or, yeah, various things they did. And that seemed to be a good combination. The one could drive the man lift and, or maybe do the cutting or whatever, and the other one was kind of figuring out what needs to be done next and how to do it and giving his instructions to the other person, kind of as a team. And I thought, isn't that interesting? You know, in the church, when we work as a team, it goes the most smoothly. And so we benefit from the strength of others. None of us has all the gifts. None of us has all the strengths. But when we see a stronger brother in the church, he's really benefiting us. Instead of envying him or wishing, oh, you know, I wish I could be him, it's like, well, thank you, Lord. I'm on his team. We're working together. His strength is benefiting me, and I'm going to lift him up in prayer. I'm going to support him in every way I can. So, on this building project, we had an old barn that was kind of in the way, and it was an eyesore, for sure. It was an old dry cow barn built of block, and the distance up to the square was maybe barely 8 feet. So it was a short building, very hot in the summertime, and the dry cows would go in there. It had 32 stalls, so it had some capacity, only 8-foot alleys, and the thing of it was kind of blocking our new barn, sat right behind it. And so one of the jobs of the foreman on the crew, or the job manager, I guess, was to try to help figure out how we're going to, what we're going to do with this old building, and try to convince the owner of the farm that this thing really should be demolished and there should be concrete put in its place. Just extend the barnyard back. And so this farmer, which happened to be me, was kind of dragging his feet. And, you know, seeing the value of a building, after all, I'm paying, you know, X number of thousands of dollars for this new building, and you know, these things are expensive. It's just really hard to let this old one be reduced to rubble. But yet, as we talked, I could see his point, you know, getting the grade right, getting it all to mesh and have a functional product in the end would mean that this old barn had to come down. And, you know, in the church, isn't it that way too, where as we talk together, counsel together, we influence each other. And sometimes we have to give in. We have to lay down our will. Not always easy. But our brethren mean it for our good. Sometimes our ideas just have to be laid down. And for brotherhood to happen, for brotherhood to be working, it means a laying down of our will. Gelassenheit. You've heard the word probably, the German word, Gelassenheit, which means yieldedness, is a very powerful term. It's not weakness. It's laying down my will for the sake of my brethren. And as we seek the Lord together in Gelassenheit and yieldedness, we find God and we find unity. And so, thinking too of the body, you know, the body is many members working together. And I thought of this illustration. You know, you're walking along and all of a sudden you stub your toe. And what's the immediate response when we stub our toe? Do we think, oh, I have a member that's hurting. I wonder what I should do about that. Maybe I should, sit down and think about it a little bit and think about which of my other members should respond to the need. No. As soon as we stub our toe, we immediately, the foot comes up, the hand goes down, we grab our foot, we maybe find a place to sit down, off comes the boots or the shoe, off comes the sock, and we look at that toe. And we think, now, this toe is telling me that it's really hurting. Do I agree with that? Well, you know, in the body, I'm thinking, okay, when there's a need, often we try to evaluate the need. And that's right. It's hard to synchronize our responses in the church so smoothly as what our body does, right? But this is the example that's given us here. And so we grab our foot. We look at our foot. We look for blood. How badly is this hurt? You know, sometimes we think it's pretty bad. And we look at it, and if it's cut open, if there's blood, you know, we know we need to go to the house, we need to call for mom, we need to get some peroxide on there, clean it up, get some salve, bandage, and doctor this thing. And it's just that sensitivity to pain that we have as people that's God-given that God wants us to have in the church. So in the church, there's always pain. There's always people that are doing well, who are strong. But Scripture says that those that are strong should bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So how are we as the strong ones? And sometimes the strong ones stub their toe too. We as strong ones are sometimes the weak ones. Sometimes we're the ones that feel run over by a freight train. Sometimes we're the ones that have losses. Sometimes we're the ones that need a better perspective on life. And we need someone to come in with the peroxide and the salve and the bandages and fix us up. You know, I'm thinking about the sensitivity part of it. How can we cultivate a sensitivity to pain? I know people are people. We tend to be private people, some more than others, and maybe not admit to pain. And this can be a problem. In our physical bodies, if our toe would not admit that it's hurt, the rest of our body couldn't respond. If it's numb, you know, if we would have cold feet, for example, like frostbite sort of thing, and stub our toe, we could hardly feel that. But when the blood is flowing, when the body is healthy, and we experience pain, the rest of the body can respond and meet the need. And so it is in the church. When we're healthy, when there's a relationship with Jesus, when we have soft, warm hearts, when we're humble, walking with Jesus, then we can be more honest with how we're doing, with how we're, I'm having a hard time. Pray for me. I want to be humble. I need prayer in this area. Pray for me. requesting prayer in the body. That's why we're here, isn't it? One of the reasons, to support each other in times of loss and pain. God has put us in the body as it hath pleased him. It's kind of my theme thought here tonight. So, another thing that happened there on the farm is I had to, back up a little bit. So I realized that one of the jobs of the project foreman was to find that delicate balance between doing the best job with the building, and especially demolishing that old one and deciding what to do next, and spending the farmer's money. So the farmer is trying to be conservative and not be too extravagant and decide what he can live with versus what he'll be happiest with in the next 30 years. And so you're trying to walk kind of a tightrope. And so the foreman or the project manager kind of finds himself caught there. Like he has his hand in my pocket already. How much should he take? And he feels me squirming, and he feels me kind of pulling his hand out. And so there's a little tension there. And as we talked, it just became more clear what we should do. You can make short-term compromises and have long-term regrets. And, in the church, we're concerned about the long view. What's best in our brotherhood for the long haul? Take the long view. Relationships are hard work. Relationships are not easy sometimes. And, sometimes we can think, well, what this brother needs is just, I know what he needs. He just needs a rebuke. If I would just tell him what his problem is, we could just solve this problem and we could just move on. But what we give up in those quick fixes is meaningful living relationships many times. Relationships are hard work. And sometimes it takes a lot of time to work with a brother, work with a situation, especially sensitive situations. I don't know. Most of us, even if we look big and tough, we're pretty sensitive. That we have a sensitive side to us. And we respond best with love, with care, when we sense that someone really cares about us. When they come to us with an issue, we become much more receptive, don't we? That the walls go down, we find ourselves just open, teachable. What can I learn from you, brother? What do you have for me? So yes, in the body, we want to do the best job. We want to aim for quality, not compromise, even if it costs more. After all, Jesus shed his blood. The ultimate price was paid for the church, for redeemed relationships, for us to be able, for us to have the resources to invest in each other in a spiritual and emotional way. We shouldn't cut corners. We shouldn't be content with compromise. We shouldn't be content with the quick fix, the few short words, the let's just fix it mentality. But no, talk it out. Hear it out. Take time. Take lots of time. We're here for each other for the long haul. And we want to grow the church. We want this to be a place of healing and redemption, restoration. So, on with the scripture here. Let's see, where did we leave off? I think we're going to comment on a few verses here, starting in 19. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And so, you know, sometimes in the church, there's comparisons. Whenever we're with a group of people, we tend to compare, don't we? And it in the church, we kind of forget that we're all on one team sometimes. And there can be these thoughts of people that are better than others. And okay, maybe, you know, people get to talking and maybe they come from an offended perspective sometimes, and they'll have these ideas about, okay, this family over here, this individual, he's better than. You know, he thinks he's better than and kind of a superior person, and kind of just hold people away because, you know, they think they're better than. That kind of a spirit, what does it do to the body? Does it build or does it divide? When divisive thoughts come in, it's simply Satan trying to tear us down and help us to forget, make us forget, that we're on the same team. We need the strengths of our brother. We're glad that each one is on our team and part of our body. Together we're stronger. Together we're better. You know, there's something for everybody to do in the body. There's no matter how big a church is, there's something for all of us to do. Whether we find ourselves in a sock, in a shoe, or on the head, we're all equally important. There's not one job or one position, one member of the body that's less than. God doesn't do that. He, in God's economy, the ground is level at the foot of the cross, as we've heard. And so we're all equal. We all have a job to do. And at the end of life, God is going to look at us and he's going to say, "What have you done with what I've given you? How faithful have I been with whether I got 10 talents, 5 talents, or 1? The assignment is the same. Have I been faithful with what God has given me? Maybe I'm not a speaker. Maybe I'm not a teacher or a song leader. You know, in the church, we kind of set our churches up with jobs. You know, we have our reorganization meetings, and we have Sunday school teachers and song leaders and these jobs that we do. And, you know, it kind of rotates around, I suppose. And yet we still look for gifts that people have and how we give those jobs out. But that's just on the surface. That's just kind of the official job list, we could say, of the church. And so what I'm talking about tonight is the jobs that we can do spiritually, caring for people. Is everyone cared for the way they could be or should be in the church? And I'm going to suggest tonight that list is kind of endless. Like, there's always people we could be spending more time with, showing more care to. And sometimes it's not just in the church. It can go beyond the church. There's neighbors, there's people in need. The church is a hospital for sinners, more than a museum for saints, right? We've heard that. I like to think of the church that way. And so we're here as a care group, and people who are finding grace, not just for ourselves, but have grace to give, resources to give to others. So there's work for everyone. There's many ways to build the body. You know, I talked about an attitude of superiority. Another one that really tears the body apart is criticism. It's easy to be critical. We're human. We can become critical, kind of emphasize or look for faults in people. We can, you know, criticize our minister as he's up here preaching, critical thoughts about just about anything in the church. And that's just human nature. And so we have to deal with that and recognize that that criticism really is tearing the team apart. We as a body, it's kind of like, you know, in the human body, if our hand is saying, I don't need you, just like we read here. If the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, am I not of the body? And you imagine if our hands decided not to work together anymore, and the one hand would get envious of the other, you know, the left hand gets envious of the right hand because, after all, I use the right hand more. So left hand is not popular. He feels inferior. And so if there was war happening in our bodies, criticism between our members, how destructive that would be. I guess there's a word for that, autoimmune diseases, right? The body fighting against itself. And sometimes that happens, and we have a medical condition because of that, and our body goes downhill. It's very difficult to get ahead of some of those things. But in the body, you know, in the church, we wouldn't dream of one hand fighting against the other. In the church, are we helping each other, you know, giving each other a helping hand, supporting the hands that are working, lifting up the hands that hang down, strengthening the feeble knees. So there's work for everyone in the body of Christ. And on down here in verse, let me see here. We're in chapter 12 and verse 22. It says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be feeble are necessary. And so he's reminding us again that there's no unnecessary members in the body. We're all needed. We're all very, very important. And sometimes we can have feelings of inferiority. That's kind of common. I remember struggling with that as a younger person. And isn't that just because we're comparing ourselves, maybe in an unhealthy way, with others? We feel less than. And so we kind of put it on ourselves. But here he says that there's no one, even the feeble member, the most feeble member, is necessary. I like that. There's there's no room for those feelings of inferiority, because God has made us all with a very important place in the body. Now, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, or no cracks in the body, no breaks, nothing that separates us, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And so, you know, whether I cut my hand, whether I stub my toe, or whatever the pain is, you know, my body is going to respond the same way. You know, I'm going to hold my leg, I'm going to, you know, grab my wrist, you know, whatever, wherever the pain is, my body has the same care, whether it's up, down, wherever it is. And so in the church, it should be the same way. We care for each other. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter whether the pain is great or small. We're here for each other. We're on the same team. And we want to lift each other up and care for each other as a body would. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I've heard already it said that it's easier to have sympathy or empathy for someone who's suffering than it is to rejoice in good times. I think that's true. And why is that? Because when one member rejoices, maybe they're, then we start dealing with envy, perhaps. You know, especially if they're excelling in an area or they've achieved something that we wish we had. But here it says that we should rejoice with those that rejoice. Because, after all, they're on our team. Their victory, their success, is our success. We're on the same team. We're working together. We have no room for schisms, for envy, for jealousies to come in, because that just separates us and distances us from the very body that we're a part of. So God has put us in the body, members one of another. Whether we're doing a building project, or whether we're building the church, or whether we're building our families, we praise the Lord that we can work together and that we can be members one of another as it hath pleased him. And that concludes my thoughts. May God bless you all here.